I'm joined on the line now by Andrew Boyd from Release International. Andrew, we've heard just over last weekend of yet another attack on a Coptic church in Egypt, and this time it's particularly resonated with the world's press, I think, because the person who tragically was killed was a police officer who was trying to defuse the bomb. Firstly, is this just one of many recent attacks on Coptic Christians?
Yes, it is. It's part of an ongoing program of attacks by people. Sometimes they claim to be part of ISIS. If you think back with the history of Egypt, you have the Muslim Brotherhood when they came to power, and particularly when they were thrown out of power, there was a whole wave of attacks against churches. Many churches were burnt down. Many Christians were killed. You had the scene of Brotherhood supporters out on the streets with guns, challenging people, saying, "Are you a Christian?" If they were, they would kill them. So there is an ongoing hostility towards Christians. We know that Islamic State has been active there, and there are militants who are active in Sinai that the government has tried to clear up. So in this particular attack, yep, there was a policeman who died trying to defuse a bomb which was planted nearby a Coptic church in a district just outside Cairo.
Now, we understand that in recent times, in October, 17 people were sentenced to death for their involvement in bomb attacks on Coptic churches. And the following month, police killed 19 Islamist militants who were accused of attacking Christians. They killed them in a shootout. Now we've seen, tragically, this police officer losing his life, but he was attempting to defuse the bomb. Are these all signs that the authorities are taking the threats against Coptic Christians more seriously?
They certainly do take it seriously. I mean, the figures now show something like more than 100 people have been killed in attacks by those who would profess to be jihadists, and that's been going on since 2016. So President al-Sisi has said that this has to stop. He has brought in military protection at some of the large churches within Egypt. You see a strong military presence on the streets of Egypt. But what we need to remember here is that the world's media attention is focused on Cairo. But actually, Christians are safer in Cairo than they are in the rest of Egypt. And many of them who've suffered persecution have been for years in rural Egypt, in what's known as Upper Egypt, will leave and they'll go to Cairo to try to find some place of safety there. So those stories don't tend to get reported, but you have a context here where Christians are regarded and have been for years as second-class citizens and are discriminated against. There is a prejudice towards the Christian minority within Egypt. The Christians are very stoic about it, actually. They tend not to refer to persecution, but to the pressure. But one thing that's of particular concern to Release International, which is not widely reported, is that we see, to a measure, the same thing going on in Egypt that we see happening in Nigeria and in Pakistan, which is the deliberate targeting of young girls and women for kidnap, for rape, and for forcible conversion to Islam. It's religious conquest which is going on here. Money appears to be coming into Egypt from the Gulf. We can't prove that, but there are indications of that, which are paying kidnap gangs to groom young girls and young women. They will seduce them, they will take them away, they will rape them, they will force them to convert to Islam. And it's like planting a time bomb in the community, because even if these girls get away, it's brought disgrace into that community. That's part of the culture they're in. And it demoralizes them. But this is going on, and it has been for quite some time. Release is particularly concerned about it.
Andrew, is it fair to say that it's almost a religious battle going on against Christians? Because some of these elements claim to be jihadis, they claim to be members of terrorist organizations. I'm wondering if it's more akin to people with criminal intent and terroristic intent, as it were, using religious divisions almost as a cloak and an excuse for these sorts of things.
I'm sure that there's an element of that. So some of the kidnapping, and there's been an epidemic of kidnapping in Egypt, will be just for money. Some of those kidnapping gangs are doing it because they want the cash, but some of that cash appears to be coming from the Gulf. And part of the practice that's taking place here is the defiling of these young girls, the making pregnant of these young girls, the requiring that they convert to Islam. Now, if it were just kidnap, and it was just about money, those things would not be happening. But this is happening. So Release International has been working with some of those kidnapped victims. I've spoken to a Coptic monk in Cairo who has helped rescue some of them and helps take care of some of them. An organization, Open Doors, has spoken to people who were part of the kidnap gang. And there is a jihadist intent here somewhere in the background of what is going on. There is one good bit of news from Egypt that we need to point out, I would say, and that is the opening just in the new administrative center of Egypt, which is supposed to be replacing very overcrowded Cairo, of what has been described as the largest cathedral in the Middle East. And this is significant because until recently, if you had a pane of broken glass in a church, you would, in theory, need to apply for presidential permission to repair it. What we've seen here is President al-Sisi standing with the Coptic Pope on the Coptic Christmas Eve, which is later than ours, it's in January, and opening this church, which will seat 8,000 people, and President al-Sisi declaring it to be a significant time for Egypt, an important moment in our history, he said. And he made a very clear point. Remember, the visual is him standing with the Coptic Pope saying, "We are one and we will remain one." And he's referring to Christians and Muslims together. Now, he is loathed and loved in near equal measure for doing this within Egypt. But the significance of it, the symbolism of it, is extremely important. And though there are many things to be concerned about in Egypt, including the way Egypt is run, this one is to be welcomed.
And I suppose, Andrea, it brings back to mind that idea of we are one, we are Egyptians, irrespective of our religion. It brings to mind during the Muslim Brotherhood days where there were incidences of Muslim communities and Christians standing around the Christian churches to protect them from rioters.
Yes. Remember, the context of these attacks, we're talking about extremism. We're not talking about ordinary lives and ordinary people of goodwill who have lived together for years. So thank you for reminding us of that. We saw the scene of Muslims protecting Christians from attack. And we saw the scene also of Christians joining together with Muslims to produce a ring of prayer, remarkable scenes, to say, we stand with you, we don't want to see you attacked either. So there is a reservoir of goodwill within Egypt, but there's also a culture here of discrimination and persecution and prejudice, which is fueling the whole of the jihadi agenda, which we are deeply concerned about.
Andrew, how can we be praying for the Coptic Church in Egypt, particularly bearing in mind they've opened this brand new 8,000-seater cathedral? Christianity is obviously on the move and growing in Egypt despite the persecution.
Yes, it is. But just before we talk about praying for it, that's a partial picture. So some would say, yes, it's great to open a really high-profile cathedral. The West will look and say, wonderful, religious freedom, Christianity is celebrated. It's much more complicated than that. So how do we pray for it? Well, we need to have our eyes open. But I know what Coptic Egyptians would say. They would say, pray for the government, pray for the president, because he needs wise counsel and he is making some moves that are really helpful and in a good direction. There are other things to be concerned about. But as Egyptian Christians have said to me when I visited them, look, Christians are leaving Egypt because of the persecution. If we go, if the last large remaining Christian community in the Middle East, and it is the last one, if that is driven out as the jihadists appear to intend, then there is nothing left to protect Europe from being the next target of jihadists. So out of self-interest, if I can put it like that, and also love for our brothers and sisters within Egypt, we should be praying for the church in Egypt, that the Lord will strengthen them, that he will encourage them. There is a remarkable Christian spirituality amongst the Coptic Church. They really understand Christ's message of forgiveness in a way that has opened my eyes in many ways when I've seen them. They are standing firm in the face of bitter hatred and persecution, choosing to love their enemies, not just forgive them, not just put up with them, not just write off their debt, but actively choosing to love them and reach out to them. And I would say, let's pray for that because it's a remarkable thing. Let's pray that the Sauls have their eyes open and become the Pauls, the Christians from those backgrounds of terrorism who will actually transform the nation.
Andrew Boyd from Release International, thank you for joining us today.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.